Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm Patrick Castillo, Artistic Administrator for Music at Menlo, and I have the pleasure of introducing you to this season's Carte Blanche Concerts. The Carte Blanche Concerts are Music at Menlo's signature series of artist-curated programs, featuring some of classical music's finest recitalists and chamber musicians, and spotlighting their musical specialties and curatorial interests. This summer, we have a spectacular series of five Carte Blanche Concerts to complement the season's theme, From Bach. On Saturday, July 20, percussionists Ian Rosenbaum, Ayano Kataoka, and Chris Froh present Percussion Complexities, a bold program of music for percussion, beginning with Bach transcriptions and extending to the 20th and early 21st centuries, where music for percussion has become an increasingly vital and vibrant dimension of the classical music landscape. On Sunday, July 21, violinist Suvin Kim makes his Music at Menlo debut with an epic double recital program of music for solo violin, pairing the chestnuts of the literature, Bach, Paganini, Isai, with their modern counterparts, music by Bartok, John Harbison, Jörg Widmann, and others. On Sunday, July 28 and Sunday, August 4, two longtime festival favorites, cellists Colin Carr and Lawrence Lesser, offer cello evolutions, a pair of programs complementing one another, and featuring the Bach suites for solo cello alongside a selection of works representing the rich tradition of solo cello music that emerged from those iconic suites. And also on Sunday, July 28th, violinist Georgia Flizanis leads Into the Light, a multidimensional chamber music program highlighting the transcendent quality of Bach's secular and spiritual music. The third and fifth of this summer's Carte Blanche Concerts are complimentary recital programs featuring cellists Colin Carr and Lawrence Lesser. On July 28th, Colin, who inaugurated the Carte Blanche series in 2004 with the complete Bach cello suites, revisits the third and fifth suites, alongside the thrillingly virtuosic sonata for solo cello by the Hungarian composer Zoltán Kodály, composed in 1915. And on August 4, Lawrence Lesser gives a double recital program juxtaposing suites 1, 2, 4, and 6 with solo cello music by Paul Hindemith, George Crumb, and Luigi Della Piccola.
I start the program with the first suite,
Lawrence Lesser,
which for the suites is the equivalent of the first prelude of the first book of the Well-Tempered Clavier. It's simple. It isn't easy to play, by the way. None of them are easy. But it relatively is simple. It starts with just a simple arpeggio and a chordal progression. And talking generally about the position of the Bach suites, nobody wrote anything before these suites for the cello anywhere resembling this. And so this is kind of the alpha. This is where it begins. And this was such a startling thing that after Bach died, when Carl Philipp Emanuel wrote this article that's known as an obituary, it was like 2 or 3 years after his father died, he lists a lot of work, and he makes special mention of the cello suites. I mean, if you think about the course of from suite one with this very, very simple material to suite six, which is rich and joyful and triumphant and magisterial, the evolution within his own mind in a very short period of time, we don't know exactly when he wrote them, is kind of amazing. And I can well imagine that when he finished that, he must have put his head on the pillow and said, I didn't do so bad, you know. And so it begins from that. And the program I've put together is built on four of the suites. It's divided into two parts, and the first part starts with one and finishes with four, which is this very majestic kind of piece with starts with E flat major arpeggio, like the first one starts with a G major arpeggio, but it has an enormous range, and it's kind of like he's cut his teeth already on what a cello can do, and now he's really saying, but I'll bet you guys can also do this. That's the framework of the first program. And the second program after lunch starts with two, which is sad and serious, not really dark, maybe a little bit severe, and ends with that sixth suite, this joyful triumphant. How can anything come after it? So what started me to thinking is that if we're going from Bach, where do we go? Now, of course, after that, not soon after that, but starting later in the 19th century, people began to say, oh, well, I guess we could write serious music for the cello alone. There were cello composers all along, like Boccherini, who wrote a lot of things for cello with other instruments, but never solo cello. And then it kind of took off with Max Reger and people like that. And then we come, the first piece that I play after the first suite is the solo sonata by Paul Hindemith, which he wrote in the 1920s as a young composer. And really, I think I read somewhere that he wrote it in a day, trying to prove to somebody how quickly he could write. And I wish I could have learned it in a day. But it also is a kind of suite. It's in five movements, and it's not any more dance movements, but it's each movement has a very distinct character. It starts with a very muscular and proud first movement. It's followed by a second movement that is whimsical and that I always think of as somebody who's gone out and had a little bit too much to drink and is finding his way home and isn't quite sure where he's going. And the third movement is this very profound, very deep, almost sad utterance of great inner feeling. Followed by a fourth movement that is done in less time than the last movement of the famous Chopin sonata, the funeral march sonata with the wind over the grave. It takes barely a minute to play, and it's written always pianissimo and without any expression. And that leads immediately into this very dynamic, almost militaristic last movement, and ends that way. And it's all over. It's a 10-minute piece. But, I mean, in 10 minutes, he captures many, many different moods. And that's kind of looking back to Bach and saying, well, there were all of these different moods in the suites. By the way, the suites are in, all six cello suites are in the same form, with a prelude, which is just a free composition, and then five dance movements. And the way I think about it, they're all in the same key except for a minor of a second minuet or something like that, or a major. But every one of them comes from a different country. And even though they're French suites, they are still, I mean, an Allemande is German. A courante is mostly a corrente. It's an Italian dance. The sarabanda was a Spanish dance. And then the minuets and the bourrées and the gavottes are all real French dances, and the jig is, believe it or not, Irish. It's a jig. So anyway, Hindemith has done his own thing. He's going to write movements that are completely different from one another, and that looks back to Bach, only he's doing it from a different perspective. He's showing different moods. The program then goes on to the solo sonata of George Crumb in three movements, which was written when he was quite young. It's actually printed in 1955. I think he grows up very much, I think he must have been very influenced by Bartók. And you hear the beginning of it is that Hungarian rhythm. Yada, da, 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 yada. Very typical Hungarian rhythm. The middle movement is a pastoral. It's a kind of a Sicilian. And the last movement is a perpetual motion. Again, very effective, using the instrument in a new way. And that's kind of what happens, is the composer, a good composer, sits down and says, well, I know Bach wrote it this way and Hindemith or other people wrote it this way. Let me see what I can come up with. And of course, that was just the beginning for George Crumb, who later on was writing everything from a bow on a saw to glasses, playing glasses, and Voice of the Whale with a strange series of harmonics and all of that. This is very much simpler. This is an easy step forward for him. After lunch, the program begins with the second suite, which is very emotional in its own way. It's the standard form. The distance between the first suite and the second suite is large. The first suite should come at the beginning because if you're talking about from Bach, everything comes from it. That's where it begins. The second suite has a more severe character and also very emotional character. And the piece that I play after that, before finishing with the sixth suite, is a very, very special piece that's not played very often, but I have a personal connection to it. It's the piece by the Italian composer Luigi Dalla Piccola, and it's called Ciaccone, Intermezzo, and Adagio. Dalla Piccola was very much influenced by the music of Alban Berg, and he wrote in his own version of a 12-tone style. And this piece is 12-tone. But the last thing he would ever want you to notice is that it is. And if you think about the three famous 12-tone composers, they say Schoenberg is the father, Alban Berg is the son, and Webern is the Holy Ghost. You know, but
I've never heard that before.
Well, but anyway, Berg is the one who is very healthy and all of that, and that's a big influence on him. And couple that with the fact that Dalla Piccola is really Italian. So if he writes da-da-da-da, you don't play it that way. You play ta-ra-ra-ra-ya-ra-ra-ya-ra-ra. It's very operatic, very, very much for the voice. And so it has nothing to do except it's my own private business how I want to put this piece together, and it will cohere. A good composer doesn't really want to advertise his method. He wants to communicate, and he does. But there's a personal thing to this that I think is worth talking about. I studied in Germany in a Fulbright year after I finished college with Gaspar Casadó, great Catalan cellist, pupil of Casals, and the person for whom Dallo Piccolo wrote this piece. And the piece was written in 1945. And Casadó, whom I heard play it, spoke about this in the teaching. I never studied it with him, but he spoke about it as being music from a troubled time. And much later, I had a chance to play this piece for Dallo Piccolo. It was the year before he died. It was in Florence, Italy, which was where he lived. And I played it for him, and he was very nice to me. He liked the way I was playing it. He had some things to say, thankfully. He had some good suggestions to make. And I was emboldened by how nice he was, how charming he was to me, by saying, you know, is there a story behind this? Oh, no. I said, well, you know, Maestro Casadó was talking about this piece as if the first movement was really a portrayal of various troubled times, and that I know that your wife, who was there that day I met, is Jewish, and that during the time of the Nazis coming into Italy and fascists in charge, that you moved residences many, many times, and this is in fact true. He that day didn't want to talk about it very much, and that the first movement is followed by this very brief intermezzo, which is like a wild chase in 5-4 and then 7-8 and and in the middle is this little trio section with the word visionario, like a vision, and sfumato, disappearing like going up in smoke, and things like that. And it was almost like they were being chased in my mind. And then comes this movement that really relates to this program, because it starts off with the same idea as the Alban Berg concerto. Alban Berg, with the open strings in different keys. This starts with the series of fifths. I mean, obviously reference. And the Alban Berg violin concerto leads to a Bach chorale. The last four notes, Ich habe genug. Now, that's not in the Dallo Piccolo piece, but it's the link to Bach for me. And this piece ends with the words, Deo Gratia, September 1945. Thanks to God, September 1945. And I said, so I was telling Dallo Piccolo about, you know, it must mean this, and, you know, and then the war was over, and you were alive, and everything. I was getting very emotional. And he said, no. He said, that isn't what happened. I said, well, what is it? He said, well, Gaspar was after me to write a piece, and, you know, the war was over, and we didn't have a place to live. And so I had to go every day to the housing office, and I would stand in line, and I took a little music notebook, and I started to write a piece. And I wrote this piece mostly while I was standing in line waiting for a place to live. And finally, as I was just about to finish writing the piece, my number came up and we found a place to live. And so I wrote, thanks to God. You know, that may have happened.
You don't believe him.
But I never believed him, because I think this piece is so incredibly touching and so profound. And it really sits very comfortably in my mind in the collection of the Bach suites. So there you have it. I mean, that's a program with a lot of music on it, and it's all connected to Bach. It all comes from Bach, but it goes to places that he, of course, could never have imagined.
Audio notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional narration is provided by Andrew Goldstein. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Alejandro Vignal's Book of Grooves appears courtesy of the composer. Toru Takamitsu's Raintree is performed by the Smoke and Mirrors Percussion Ensemble and appears courtesy of Yarlung Records. The first movement of Steve Reich's Drumming, performed by Russ Hartenberger, Bob Becker, and James Price. Heinrich Ignaz von Bieber's Passacaglia, performed by Reinhard Gabel. J.S. Bach's Solo Violin Sonata No. 3 in C Major, performed by Nathan Milstein. Eugenie Zai's Sonata No. 6, performed by David Oistrakh. Bela Bartok's Sonata for Solo Violin, performed by Victoria Mulova. And Paul Hindemith's Sonata for Solo Cello, performed by Matt Heimowitz, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Esa-Pekka Salonen's Lachen verlernt, performed by Jennifer Koh, appears courtesy of Sedil Records. Sultan Kodai's Opus 8 Sonata for Solo Cello, performed by Natalie Klein, appears courtesy of Hyperion Records. J.S. Bach's Cello Suites are performed by and appear courtesy of Christopher Costanza. J.S. Bach's Violin Concerto in E Major, performed by Ida Kavafian, Jessica Lee, Amy Lee, Mark Holloway, and Andreas Brantelid. And Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's String Quintet in G Minor, performed by the Orion String Quartet and Michael Tree, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Georg Friedrich Handel's Eternal Source of Light Divine is performed by and appears courtesy of Apollo's Fire. J.S. Bach's Jauchzet Gott in Allen Landen is performed by Emma Kirkby and the English Baroque Soloists, conducted by John Elliott Gardner, and appears courtesy of Decca Records. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.